Listen, guys, it is not, it, you know, at this point, I'm not even convinced it may be an attack anymore. It might just simply be my equipment at this point, because, but what, guess where? This is the only time my computer or my equipment was crazy. For everything else, it works. But whenever I do these podcasts, I am telling you, I have to do them approximately 3 or 2 times, or sometimes I just say another day with that, because whenever I decide that I'm going to talk about a particular topic, man, the struggle is real. But we do not come in our own strength. We come with the strength of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost, take control of today's proceedings. As you know, I've done this 1,000 times at this point, but we still have to complete the work that you started in us. So allow this world to be fruitful, despite, oh my gosh, despite twice the entire recording going missing. Have mercy on us. Let your will be done in the other day. But in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you tell from the sound of voice that I'm tired? You know what? The first couple times I did this particular episode, I felt nervous. At this point, I'm just irritated, to be very transparent with you, till I even forgot to do my intro. So, hi guys, it's me, your host, Kristen Aline John. And now I'm feeling like, oh my gosh. Don't worry, it's gonna get good, I promise you. It will be worth your time, guys. And we're here for another interesting episode of Jesus Freak, Jesus Freak, Jesus Freak. I just love that entire song. It gets me every time. So we're talking about a very challenging and sensitive topic today. And the first couple episodes took me 15 minutes, which is what my average length is like. But I suspect I'm going to be a bit shorter, because I am not really willing to do the pleasantries and sound politically correct. We're just going to get into it, okay? So today's topic is, where were you, God, when we were enslaved? And this was actually inspired by looking at a beautiful documentary that Jada Pinkett Smith released on Netflix called African Queens. And you can check it out, you know. It's really good information. And as you can probably tell from the sound of my voice, I am an Afro-Caribbean queen. I know I just put the word queen there. But sometimes I really do believe I am. But really, I am a child of God. That's my real identity there. However, it really just shows us how Queen Nzinga was able to deliver the tribe of Matamba, I believe it was, and Ndongo, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, against the Portuguese colonizers, and how she had to eventually affiliate with the Dutch, and she had to take on Catholicism in order to be able to allow the impact of slavery to be lessened in the territory she had control over. It's really a riveting series. Like, you should invest in watching it. However, go back to my one of the episodes that's entitled What's the Agenda? And when you're looking at it, I want you to have what we spoke about in that previous episode as you look at it. So it's really informational. It appears to be all factual, and they really have credible sources, and I choose to believe everything that was said. I'm not one of those people that, you know, I'm seeing an apple in front of me and I'm saying it's not an apple. It's an apple, whether or not it fits my agenda, okay? So the reality is, though, there is a push. Oh, there are a group of persons who have of African descent or part of the Afro diaspora that really and truly do not identify with Christianity, because it was used as a tool for oppression for the people in Africa. And we need to talk about it. Was this true? Yes, it was. You mean the whole truth? Yes, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But I want to challenge you to look at it from this perspective. The colonizers, the English, the Dutch, the French, the Portuguese, the Spanish. I also believe persons from the Netherlands came. I'm not too 100% about that. They came in the name of Christianity, because it was the general belief that the persons in Africa, they had such a horrible religion and horrible customs, and God was using them as a tool to be able to convert people to Christianity like missionaries, for lack of a better word. And when they did this, they obviously are believing that they are doing the work of God. However, what does the Bible remind us? The Bible reminds us that we must test all spirits. What that means? It means that there are persons who will come as sheep in wolf's clothing. They will come and profess and say they're in the name of God. They'll be able to quote scriptures. They'll bring you Bibles. They'll teach you to read the Bible. They'll call upon the name of Jesus. And they may even be able to do some miraculous signs and wonders. However, they are false prophets. They are false priests. All this is biblical. I'm not even making this up. And most of all, they do not bear the fruits of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Well, the Bible tells us they are many. They are love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, joy. If you don't have any of these fruits of the Spirit, there's no way you are connected to the true source of God. You are simply a fallen apple dressed in Christianity. You are like a Pharisee. And there are many organizations and persons that do encapsulate this, even churches. They focus so much on the outward aspect of looking like a Christian, but they do not have the core intimacy and deep relationship with Christ. And they use religion as a tool to oppress. Does the Bible overtly come against slavery? No. I have not seen in my studies, and please guys, come in the comments and tell me if I'm wrong, or if you have experienced something else, or the Holy Spirit have revealed another line to you, or reveal another scripture and its context to you. For we're all interdependent on each other. We see that there are scriptures such as Colossians 3:22, where God actually says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only with their eye on you and to curry their favor, but with the sincerity of heart and the reverence for the Lord. It also says in 1 Timothy 6:1, all who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect. Huh? Yeah, it did say that. So that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. So what do I think about this? I think this is hard to stomach. What do you think? You guys tell me. But it's there in the Bible, and I don't change what I'm seeing to fit my description. I sometimes myself wonder, why would you allow something like that to happen? And the truth is, I don't have the answers. But even in this very day, we know that God is the chief justice minister. So whenever he's seeing oppression and injustice happening, whether it's happening in his name or not, he rises up his deliverers. How do I know that? I look into that Bible. In the Bible, we see that the Israelites, and this had nothing to do with skin tone, the Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians. Okay, and as we know, Egypt is in Africa. And we see that God rose up a murderer named Moses, who he anointed to go forth and deliver his people. And Moses did that. And many died because of grumbling and complaining. And some of them, such as Caleb and Joshua, and the offspring of those who made it into the wilderness, did eventually receive what God promised them in the land of Canaan. So we're not even talking about race here. We're simply talking about there are people who, there are groups of people, there are races of people, there are nations who have been oppressed. We know that the Germans attacked the Jews. They too have been oppressed. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. So it is bigger than just us as the African race. Even though many times we are not really open to exploring the other impacts, because ours was really very brutal, and there's no way I could water that down. They use Christianity as a tool to oppress. Did that come from God? No. How do I know that? Because it did not bear the fruits of the Spirit. It was not done in love. It was done for greed and to attain physical wealth and to develop their nations. It was not to advance God's kingdom, whether or not more people became Christians. They weren't even really doing it in the sense, in the freedom that God wants us to do it. They were doing it out of fear. They were doing it so that they were not going to be enslaved. That is not what the heart of God is about. And therefore, it bore the resemblance of Christianity, but yet it was not. It spoke about Jesus Christ, and it spoke about his words and his precepts and his commandments, but yet it was not. God is freedom. How do I know that? Because we see in the New Testament that in 1 Peter verses 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 18, and I just know that part by heart, so now I am actually trying to get back that reading. I can't find it here on my computer. But basically, we are seeing God reminding us that we are free. We are neither Jew nor Gentile, but we are all one under Jesus Christ. We see in Galatians 5 verses 1 that it is for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free. That we must then stand firm and do not let ourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We know that there were those that came before in the name of Jesus, saying that they came to allow us to meet with him. However, they oppressed us. We were deceived. But now God used what was meant for evil. And he rose up deliverers such as Queen Nzinga, who had to take on a form of Catholicism, though she really didn't even believe in it, just so that her people could be saved. But God rose up a deliverer, just like God rose up Joseph, just like God rose up Moses, just like God is raising you up. So that persons in your family, persons in your workplaces, persons in your communities, persons in your countries, in your regions, who are still in different forms of slavery. Slavery to alcoholism, slavery to sex and drugs, slavery to depression, slavery to doubt, slavery to anxiety, slavery to fear. When God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to die so that we may be free. Christ has set us free. God is not a God of oppression, no matter what anyone might want to say. God reminds us to test the spirits. And therefore, when anyone comes to you and says, "Why do you praise a white savior?" We have no indication that this was done in the name of Jesus Christ, for it did not bear fruits of Jesus Christ. It bore fruits of capitalism. It bore fruits of oppression. Which kingdom does that remind you more of? The kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness? You tell me in the comments, guys. I'm not making this up. And we see wherever any group of people have been oppressed for too long, and there are numerous stories in the Bible such as that, wherever God's people have been oppressed for too long, we see he rises up their deliverers. Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, you, I. We are called to be witnesses of the greatest deliverer of all time, Jesus Christ. The true deliverer. He's not an oppressor. Child, God would know that he loves you so much and he wants you to come to his side, but he is not going to force himself on you. If you make a decision that this is all foolishness, he'll say, "I got you. I still love you, but I'm not going to force myself on you." Does that sound like that is what chattel slavery was? It wasn't. Because that is not the nature of God. And you can only know these things through having a personal relationship with him. So the next time someone comes and tells you that Christianity was a tool that was used and yada yada, say yes it was. But they were not fruits of Jesus Christ. They used the name, they had on the garments, and they used the religion, but they surely didn't have the spirit. they surely didn't actually truly have relationship with Christ, else they would have never been able to do that. But God does not sleep, and because of that, he rose up, deliver us. And for today, we have the freedom to do as we please, whether it is for his kingdom or for other kingdoms, because God is not a God of oppression. So anytime you are back in this conversation again, ask these couple of questions. Are you sure that they were Christians? What proof do you have of that? Did they bear the fruits of the Spirit? Did you test those spirits? And the ultimate question is, not ignoring the past, but looking forward here at the present, are we still enslaved? And if Jesus Christ has already sent his Son to die for our sins, why aren't we free? Come on, everyone. Let us be more open to having these difficult conversations. And I don't have all the answers, but remember, we can call on God anytime to help us uncover and discover the challenging topics, because we are his children and he loves us. So guys, tell me what you think in the comments. What are your opinions? Do you agree or do you disagree? I'm totally okay with it all. I'd love to hear from you. Once again, guys, I love you with the love of Christ. God loves you.